Mondays with Maggie, brought to you by Hilton Head Island's Floors to Go. You can find them and their showroom at 123 Matthews Drive on the island. Stop by and see Steve or any of the qualified staff at Floors to Go. They will help you bring your flooring vision to life. Find out more at HiltonHeadIsland.floorstogo.com. And now, it's time for Mondays with Maggie. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco. I like to call myself these days the primary contributor to eatitandlikeit.com, as well as the host of this podcast. Her name is Margaret Crenshaw. Around here, we call her Maggie. Does it? First of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Good. You ever been called Magpie?
Yes, quite a bit.
Do you like it? Are you okay with it?
I do. So we had some across the street neighbors from back in the 70s and 80s that was my nickname, was Magpie. And several people actually still call me Magpie.
Of course, we are old enough, you and I, to remember watching Heckle and Jekyll.
Yes. I loved them.
Because they were the talking magpies.
That's right. They just don't make cartoons like they used to.
No, they don't. They actually don't, and that could be a whole other episode. You know, Matt Stock is a buddy of mine, bartender. You know Matt? Yeah. Yes. He when you and I started this podcast, he called me. He's like, dude, we can do so many. Let's do food-based movies about food. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do with that? He's like, I'll come on your podcast. We'll talk about favorite movies that involve food and, you know, favorite movies that involve drinks and favorite, you know, and it's like, he goes, the possibilities are endless. And I'm thinking, okay, who has time for all of that when you and I are doing this every week plus everything else that I do? But maybe one morning down the road, I don't know that we're going to get him here at 7:30 in the morning. But maybe one day down the road we get Matt on to talk with us about.
Oh my gosh! Yes, island. We need a guest.
Yeah, we could do that.
Matt could be our first guest. What a great idea!
That would be good. We could. You know, the possibilities for guests are endless. But we can talk about that another time. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. I did work. I showed property on Saturday, but I had some friends in town, so I took a half a day off on Friday and actually enjoyed the island for the first time in quite a while.
How long? You say quite a while. It's easy to take it all for granted and not play tourist on a, let's call it what it is, a very tourist-friendly island. You don't do it nearly as much as you would like to, I would think. Same thing with me here downtown Savannah. I play tourist when someone comes to visit. How often do you get to do that?
Oh, not very often at all, really. Maybe a handful of times a year. And certainly not in the summertime because, you know, I'm just one of those that I'll go to the beach when it's cooler and I can walk. I'm not one that goes to the beach and sits, but they're from New York and they wanted to, they wanted fun and sun was what the text said. So I picked them up at the airport, late Friday morning. And, we grabbed my girlfriend Jody, who lives here, who also knows these guys. And, we went and had brunch at Sunrise Cafe. That's what they wanted to do. That's a restaurant that they miss. And so we went to Sunrise and then we hung out in the sun. It was just really nice. And I didn't get sunburned. I'm shocked.
That's good. Pasty gangster that you are.
I am a little pasty. I'm see-through.
That's all right. So let's go back to Sunrise for a minute. You know, we all know how busy and crazy it can be on the weekends. Was it busy Friday lunchtime?
Yes, they were busy, but we didn't have to wait. We got there a little bit past the brunch rush, and we immediately had an outside table. We were sat immediately, and of course, everybody wanted Bloody Marys and mimosas, so we got rolling with that. And, you know, that's one of those restaurants that I go to all the time and have for all the years that it's been open. So I know the menu by heart. I didn't even have to look at it. I had the low-carb scramble. Has a lot of veggies in it, peppers, onions, and mushrooms, and ham, and no cheese. And so I had that. And everybody had, the special quiche was like artichoke and tomato. Jody had that. It was fabulous. She let me try it. And then the guys each had the eggs always. So we really just grubbed.
Check you out. You know, I find the dynamic at Sunrise a little bit interesting. And I would think you could apply this train of thought to a lot of places on the island. I certainly get that. There's so many people that roll through, particularly in the summer, that there's so many different opinions. But Sunrise, I enjoy. The couple of 2-3 times that I've been there, I'm like, okay. You know, is it the best brunch I've ever had? Absolutely not. But is it really good and I enjoy it? Sure. But there are so many people, it's kind of polarizing. Either you love it, like most people do, but the people who don't like it nearly as much are very vocal about their opinion. Have you found that over the years?
Yes. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment.
Weird.
I think that what the whole place offers, though, is some really good food, good conversation. The staff is so warm and friendly. There's very little turnover in that staff. They're like family, you know. Everybody knows you by name, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got your choice of outdoor seating or indoor seating, which is, you know, for the island a great thing. And you can even sit outside there in the wintertime. They've got the pull-down I can't think of the name of it this early in the morning, the plastic, you know, pull down, zippered up. So even in inclement weather, you could sit outside. And then the kitchen is open. So you have entertainment. If you go by yourself and you want to sit at the bar, you can be entertained by the chef staff cooking right there in front of you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I've always enjoyed it.
Me too.
You know, since, I mean, like for 20 years.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. I've been going for probably about 10. Speaking of that little condo complex back there, Black Marlin got a big makeover. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes. Yes. I have not eaten there since they, changed it over, but I was out there. You know, the Hurricane Bar and all that, there's a very, big open area in the middle and lots of people come and have drinks and listen to music and all that. So I have seen what they did. Do you know that my very first job when I was 15 years old was an ice cream shop that is in the location where Black Marlin is now. Of course, just a little tiny part of it because Black Marlin is expanded. You know, it's much bigger than the actual footprint of the ice cream shop. But that was my very first job.
What was it called?
The Scoop Deck.
How about that? How clever.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then fast forward to my daughter being 15. Her first job was there also at the old Captain Woody's location, which is now Carolina Crab Company.
So Captain Woody's was there, and then they moved over to where they are now. And then didn't you tell me they're moving again?
They did. They moved to the old Chow Daddy's location.
That's
right. On Executive Park Road. But Captain Woody's was started by Captain Woody. And that
Imagine
restaurant
that.
Was there when I was working at the Scoop Deck when I was 15. He had, he would have his items, his like his fish and select seafood and whatnot up on ice. Right there, and then a bar, and it was just a little tiny place. But he first started that then. My relationship with Captain Woody's goes back to the very beginning.
To actual Captain Woody.
So there is a Captain Woody, and he wrote a book. You might want to check it out. It's called Where Have All the Shrimp Boats Gone? Or something of that nature. And anyway, fast forward to, they are now at that Executive Park location where Chow Daddy's was, which was the original San Miguel's location from back in the 70s and 80s. And I've been to the new Captain Woody's a couple times. It's really fun. They did a great job with the outdoor. They covered over the patio. They built a stage for their performers. It was an upgrade for them. A really nice kind of energy, you know, going on there.
Very good. Very good. Speaking of, you mentioned book. You think I'm going to let an opportunity to plug my book pass?
Mine's coming October 3rd.
Oh, you ordered it?
I ordered it, yes.
Thank you so much.
And Amazon tells me it'll be here October 3rd.
Savannah Food Crawls is my first published. I've only had one cup of coffee. It was a triple espresso, but my goodness. Savannah Food Crawls is the name of my first published book. It is being published by Globe Pequot, a division of Rowan out of Connecticut. Very excited about it. I thought it was coming out in April of 24, but it is going to be released October the 1st. It is now, as we speak here, on September the 11th, available for pre-order on Amazon. We are going to, this week, put together a number of signings and dinners and fun that we can have throughout the fall and winter for this book, both here in Savannah and over on your island. So I'm looking forward to sharing all of that with everybody. It was a lot of fun putting together. I'm going to record this week an episode of the podcast talking about the experience with the phone call and the book and all that stuff. So if you're interested in more of that, give me a couple of days. We're going to post an episode of this podcast talking all about the book. I'm very much looking forward to that. I got to tell you what I did last week. Remember last month I went to Richmond, Virginia, and you were like, that's a lot of driving for a beer, remember?
Yes.
I spent 25 hours, literally, 12 up, 13 back, in a rental car, driving to and from Philadelphia to meet my daughter to go see Duran Duran at concert.
Oh my gosh, how fun!
Yeah, that was, Duran Duran was on my bucket list. I made about a decade ago, 10, 12 years ago, I made a list of places, bands, I should say, that I've wanted to see live that I hadn't yet. Because growing up, we went to every concert. Even if I don't really know too many of their songs, I'd go anyway if I had nothing to do. We were very much into concerts and live music, me and my guys growing up. So I went to see pretty much everybody. But there was a list. And on that list was David Bowie, was Rod Stewart, Hall & Oates, Duran Duran, and somebody else I still can't remember. But 4 years ago, literally this week, 4 years ago this week, I finally saw Hall & Oates up in Charleston, and I hadn't seen Duran Duran. So they announced this tour, and we couldn't line it up. When they were down here in the South, my daughter was on a student exchange in Cuba. When they are going to be in New York City, where she's a senior at NYU, it's in 2 weeks, the Friday of Shrimp Festival there on the island, which I'm going to be a judge for that. Right. Very much looking forward to that. So I couldn't get to New York on that Friday night with Shrimp Fest the next day. So I couldn't do that. So we looked at the calendar. It's like, well, how are we going to figure this out? So my daughter went to class on Thursday, went to Penn Station, jumped in a train. 90 minutes later, she was in Philadelphia. I was there waiting for her. She got to the hotel at about 4. By 7 o'clock, we were at Wells Fargo Arena for the concert. We went to the concert. It was fantastic. The next morning, I dropped her off at the train at the Amtrak station in Philly for an 8 o'clock train. She got to New York at 9:30, and by 10:30 a.m., she was in class.
Wow.
Oh, to be 21 again, right?
Wow. What a trip.
Yeah.
I drove 48 hours, 24 hours. So did they sound?
They did.
You know, like they did back in the day?
They did. You know, they really did. She and I both went to see Culture Club and Howard Jones in Jacksonville back in July before she went back to New York. And we were not thrilled with how Boy George sounded. And, you know, you got to cut them some slack. I'm not being too hypercritical. We all get older and we all can't sing like we used to, you know. So I was like, oh, well, he didn't sound too good. Okay, well, moving on, whatever. But Simon Le Bon sounded fantastic. Duran Duran sounded unbelievable. Obviously, these guys are all in their 60s, so there's no running around on the stage and jumping up and down and all the energy that, you know, a 20-something would bring to a stage show. But the visuals were fantastic. Simon sang within himself. He didn't try to do too much, and it was great. It was great.
So, you know, anybody that knows me and who's known me for a long time, in high school, I was obsessed with Pat Benatar, completely obsessed. I cut my hair to be like her. I wanted to study opera because she studied opera. I told you I was in a band in high school, and I did the Pat Benatar songs, clearly not as good as Pat. But I had never seen her in concert. So last July, I flew to Nashville by myself and went to see Pat Benatar and her husband, Neil Giraldo, at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville.
That's
I just
awesome.
Had like a quick three night stay. And you know what was so cool about Nashville, I had never been, so I didn't know this. You can just go honky tonking at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
You know, I mean, not that I was, you know, drinking all day or anything, but you can just go in and out of food establishments and hear music, mm-hmm. you know, from door to door. And people, I'm sure, listening are going, no, duh, Maggie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd never been there. I didn't know. So it was a whole weekend for me about music. And the Pat Benatar show was, oh, my gosh, she just every single song. And I didn't sing a word. I kept my mouth shut and I listened to Pat. And she is 70 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And her voice, talk about, okay, so really when you have a trained voice, you know, it only gets richer and stronger as you get older. You may not be able to hit, you know, the same notes and whatnot in the same way, but yeah, she was amazing. But, you know, this podcast is about food, so I'm going to say this about Nashville. I couldn't really find a restaurant that had any sort of culinarily interesting food. Maybe I just wasn't in the right spot. Have you noticed that about Nashville?
Oh, no. Nashville, yeah, you didn't go. You're not going to find it down on Broadway, tell you that much, where all the live music is and all the bachelorette tomfoolery.
Yeah.
You're not going to find it there.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, okay.
Nashville is very much under the radar. It's one of the best culinary cities in America.
Well, I just went to places that were walkable from my hotel because
right.
I was like two blocks from Broadway.
Right.
Exactly that. And there were a couple of restaurants that looked interesting that I had Googled or whatnot, and I tried to make reservations, and of course, they were booked, and they're going to be booked,
yep.
you know, if you try to make a reservation the day of.
Yep.
So that's fair. That's
yeah.
fair.
No, Nashville, I lived there for almost 3 years, and it was just starting to develop some depth food-wise. And then as you know, since I lived there for so long and I worked at the Fox affiliate there, I paid attention to it after I left. And yeah, there's like a pipeline. There's like this little mini pipeline between Charleston and Nashville where chefs can't find work. They go back to Nashville. It's kind of back and forth. There's a lot of energy going back and forth between those two cities. That'll tell you what kind of, mm-hmm. what kind of juice Nashville has culinarily. There's a lot of talent there. So yeah. I keep wanting to, go back. I have many dear friends that are living there, and I keep wanting to go back and eat in all these places. And the last time I was there was 2 months before the pandemic.
Wow.
And the world ended. So I haven't been back, obviously, in 3 years. I need to get back. What do you we got a few minutes left. What do you have planned for this week? You plan to go out to eat anywhere?
You know, I've been so busy for the last like three weeks running, 4 weeks. I don't have a lot booked, so I'm really open, and today is the day that I'm going to plan my week. I know that I am having dinner with a girlfriend tonight. We're going back to Charlie's, but on my radar this week will be, oh gosh, now I forgot, the new Asian place, something smile.
Sarah.
Oh, I feel terrible that I just forgot.
Smile.
I was going to mention that. Anyway, I want to go there.
Very good.
That's where I want to go. Where I want to go this week.
We will talk about it then next week.
Yes.
Your Asian place. Quick plug for those of you who are thinking about joining us for the Hilton Head Island Shrimp Festival. It is September 23rd, two Saturdays away at Harbor Town. It is a wonderful time. Unlimited bites from about 12 chefs. Beer from breweries from all over the South. It is a great time there in the lawn overlooking the yacht basin. It's not the marina. Well, it's a yacht basin.
We're getting ready to have a bunch of festivals coming up. It's festival season. It's fall. The weather's going to start cooling down.
Yep.
We have a lot of stuff that we can talk about coming up here, events and whatnot.
Maybe we'll do that next week.
Okay.
In the interim, if we want to buy, what are they called? Petit fours, the little apartments that if you want to keep like a little place to stay on the island, I call them petit fours. What are they called?
That's cute. I've never heard that.
What's the term? There's a French term for a little, you know, place to hang your hat.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up after this.
If you want
a condo, villa, or home, primary residence, second home, or short-term rental, I am a realtor with Charter One Realty. I'm on the Kaiser Tatan team. And you can look me up at margaretcrenshaw.com.
I looked it up while you were talking. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's P-I-E-D-A-T-E-R-R-E. Petit terre?
Petit terre.
There you go. I call them petit fours.
That is hilarious. Of course, petit terre. I had forgotten that term. My Spanish is better than my French.
There you go. If you need one of those, track Maggie down at margaretcrenshaw.com, and she'll hook you up with a plethora of them, right?
That's right.
All right, let's get out of here. We're out of time. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for Mondays with Maggie. We didn't spend a lot of time on food this week, but that's okay. Sometimes you just got to mix it up. We will do so again next week, right?
That's right. I've got more free time to eat this week.
And so do I. I won't spend 25 hours in a car.
Good.
All right. Thanks.
Well,
thanks, everyone.
See you throughout the week.
All right. Thank you, Maggie. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Mondays with Maggie, brought to you by Hilton Head Island's Floors to Go. You can find them and their showroom at 123 Matthews Drive on the island. Stop by and see Steve or any of the qualified staff at Floors to Go. They will help you bring your flooring vision to life. Find out more at HiltonHeadIsland.floorstogo.com.